Welcome to the Crossover Alliance podcast. I'm your host, David N. Alderman, here to talk to you about writing, publishing, and Christianity in today's culture. You can find out more about our publishing company, see our available stories, and sign up for our free email newsletter by visiting thecrossoveralliance.com. And with that, here's the show. Hello, Crossover Allies. Welcome to our podcast, episode number 7. Though I usually try to not get too political in our podcast, today's episode is going to focus squarely on the election, the reality of our current political climate, and how we, as Christians, need to understand we're voting for a leader and not a pastor. Today's political landscape is much different than the political landscape I grew up in. Through the 80s and 90s, you saw mostly red and blue duking it out every 4 years to claim the victory of becoming president of the United States. We had Democrats and Republicans take their turns in office, and the system seemed to work. Those who lost, lost, and those who won, won. There wasn't too much civil unrest when one side won or lost, even if there were disagreements on policies and positions. Today's climate is a stark contrast. I grew up Republican, but even I've seen over the years that the Republican Party has morphed into a shell of its former self. And while I grew up watching liberals prop up the Democratic Party, I've also watched as the far left has completely saturated the party in such immoral and unethical behavior that one can't call it anything but evil at this point, especially from biblical positions. From my perspective, there's two issues in our Christian politics today. Number one, progressive Christianity has put a chokehold on biblical Christianity and has ushered in an era of tolerance for every previously unthinkable sin, saturating churches, sermons, and churchgoers in completely heretical thinking and behaviors. Instead of speaking truth through a biblical lens, pastors are giving quarter to progressive ideology under the banner of the church. They are compromising in order to try and win the approval of liberal minds, and it's backfired tremendously, taking down a number of denominations. And number two, there is no real red or blue anymore, just good and evil. And evil is really evil, and the good is marginally good on its best days, by human standards. The combination of these two things, the progressive movement and the lack of semi-friendly parties, has led to a very hostile nation that is seeping in its own apathetic and lazy religious inaction. Christians are afraid to counter the far left for fear of being canceled, shut down, insulted, disregarded, abused, or any number of other things. They take Jesus' words about turning the other cheek as a literal instruction for each and every situation they come across, so they take the hits and refuse to swing back. Instead, in response, they scoot themselves closer to the left to show friendship and love and to harbor peace and understanding. The problem is, in order to have fellowship with the far left, Christians have to compromise a number of biblical beliefs regarding a variety of different things, including abortion, the LGBTQ+ movement, and transgenderism. So we have Christian progressives moving the Christian faith toward the other end of the left spectrum while compromising Christian beliefs. Now, when it comes to voting for a candidate for president, or really any office, many Christians seem to think that in order to put their vote in, they have to swallow a poisoned pill and compromise their beliefs. It's the lesser of two evils mantra. The truth is that yes, you're giving your vote to someone you may not 100% agree with, but in the bigger picture, the good outweighs the bad. There is no perfect candidate. None. Never has been, never will be. Should that deter us from ever voting again? Absolutely not. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. This election cycle, we have Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. One espouses mostly conservative values and the other embraces and promotes straight-up communist ideals. To a normal, everyday individual, Trump is the easy choice. He already ran in office once, and during that time our country saw some impressive progress, much of which the left likes to deny. All of that progress, however, took a drastic nosedive once Biden entered office and reversed almost, if not all, of Trump's policies in a show of force. The problem now is that some Christians don't see voting for Trump as voting for a president. They see it as voting for a pastor or as voting for the leader of their home. They conflate the office of the presidency as a spiritual authority in our country, and the two really aren't the same. Trump has made it clear he isn't completely anti-abortion, but he has followed the letter of the Constitution and has thrown the issue back at the states. You can say that that's still not godly behavior, and you are probably right, that an all-out abortion ban is what is needed and expected. However, you must remember that Trump isn't claiming to be a born-again, dyed-in-the-wool Christian. We also live in a fallen world, and when those two things come together, you get imperfect people trying to fix the world through imperfect means. Many Christians also have an issue with comments Trump made years ago, or even today, or have an issue with the way he can be so crass and blunt about so many things. And in an age where people's emotions trump people's logic, getting your feelings hurt over something someone said years ago, or a comment that was made the other day, is reason to write the individual who said those things off and vote for the other person. Unfortunately, Harris is not only anti-American in every sense of the word, but is also unbiblical in every sense of the word. Harris not only wants to plunge our country into all-out communist rule, which, by the way, would make Christians an outlawed religious group, but she also wants to plunge the country into a seething anti-biblical hellscape full of abortion, greed, tolerance of sexual promiscuity, and a complete lack of law. These aren't just my opinions, but these are facts. Do your research and you'll see that for yourself. So you have good and bad in the most generic sense of those words, but some Christians have become so squishy nowadays and so scared of being labeled as Christian nationalists that they decide to just sit out the election altogether and not vote for either party. They'd rather blend into the background like chameleons instead of letting their voice be heard. This is just as bad for a number of different reasons, including that it is our citizen right and responsibility to vote, and it is our Christian right and responsibility to give support to the overall good in almost any situation. Silence is complicity. Is Trump perfect? Absolutely not. But he espouses the American way, which includes freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of defense, the Second Amendment, freedom of law, leaving states' rights in states' hands, strong borders, which is actually a biblical concept, and he represents a true love for this country. Is Harris perfect? Absolutely not. But she espouses communism and socialism, which means she believes in taking from you, by force, to give to your neighbor. This is actually not a biblical virtue. She believes in open borders, which is actually an anti-biblical notion. She believes in stripping citizens of their freedoms of speech, religion, and defense. And she believes in defunding our police and eventually doing away with the proper rule of law. The choice isn't that difficult, and yet some Christians are struggling with it. We need to understand that political leaders are not spiritual leaders. Sure, political leaders can be of the Christian faith, but that doesn't mean they are spiritual leaders. Politics is for the sake of the nation and for the sake of the citizenry, not for the sake of the nation's spirituality. There are moments when these two things, spirituality and nationality, come together, but not always. In the Old Testament, we saw the Israelites complain to God that they wanted a king like the other nations. They were tired of prophets leading over them, and they got a supreme case of FOMO, that other nations were able to be led by a human king. God warned them that that wasn't his plan for them, but he still gave them what they asked for, and the nation fell over and over and over again. God's perfect design isn't for a human leader to lead over us, it's for God to lead over us. He led Adam and Eve in the garden, and he has sought to lead over each and every one of us in our own lives. This doesn't mean God can't use human leaders. He actively used human leaders in the Bible both to help lead his people along a path of goodness, King David for example. He also used some leaders to punish his people for their wickedness, King Nebuchadnezzar for example. This happened time and time again in the Bible. Humans are imperfect. This is why I'm always so surprised when Christians leave the church permanently, but state that the reason was because the church failed them. The church is run by people, and people are imperfect. That imperfectness will manifest in a variety of ways, most of which can be hurtful to others. People will fail you, your church will fail you. It does not mean that people or the church are worthless. The same is true, if not more so, for our political leaders. They are imperfect, no matter what kind of facade they cloak themselves in. What we as discerning Christians need to do is use discernment to determine who is closest to the mark in leading our country both into greatness and into freedom. This doesn't necessarily mean all aspects that we look at have to be biblical, but many of them usually are. Abortion, borders, defense, widows and orphans, national debt, sexuality, religious freedom, etc. All of these can be looked at through a biblical lens. We need to determine which candidate would bring about positive change, or hold their ground on not changing these things once in the position they are vying for. I've heard the same argument over and over from Christians and non-Christians alike regarding whether or not we are a Christian nation. Yes, the United States was founded on biblical principles. No, I'm not going to go into a whole history lesson about this. Do your own research and please use sources that aren't all online and can be tampered with. Many of the founding fathers were professing Christians and based a lot of our historical documents on biblical beliefs, such as the Golden Rule, and a biblical structure to our courts and law. The Ten Commandments alone is where we get the basis for a lot of our laws. most of which were put in place to protect others and help us govern ourselves. Sure, the argument can be made that the Constitution doesn't specifically mirror the Ten Commandments, and that's true. However, most of its principles and the overall structure of our nation is based on biblical principles. What's interesting is when Christians themselves try to say that any love we might have for our country is heretical and considered idolatry. Was it idolatry for the Israelites to want not only secure borders, but corporate worship, laws that protected the widow and orphan, purification of the land from sinful deeds, and a host of other things? Why wasn't that considered idolatry, but when we want to have the same attitude about America, we're considered worshippers of country over God? Because on the surface, none of that is idolatry. It's pride in one's country, it's pride in one's people. It's wanting safety, security, and success for your fellow neighbor. I go back to the Israelites in Old Testament references a lot because they serve as a model for what a country under godly principles and leadership looked like, the times it was actually running properly. But see, even back then, the good years only lasted so long, and the argument can be made that even though America was founded on godly principles, a portion of the country has strayed far, far away from those principles, some even espousing behavior and deeds that were found in Sodom and Gomorrah. Trouble is, many of those espousing these watered-down beliefs are claiming to be Christians themselves. They'll advocate for child murder. They'll praise open borders, saying that Jesus would have welcomed every single immigrant and wouldn't have turned anyone away. They'll say guns are evil and need to be melted down. They'll say you don't have the right to free speech if it offends anyone. God is all about protecting yourself and those around you, especially your wife and kids. God is all about protection of borders and keeping hostile entities away from our families. God is all about us offending people with what we say sometimes. He literally said people will hate us. God is all about the protection of innocent, defenseless babies. Christians are called to be discerning. Discernment is there when there isn't a black or white answer, a yes or no, a right or a wrong. Discernment, through a combination of the power of the Holy Spirit, our lived experiences with God and Jesus, and our constant study of Scripture, is our tool to navigate a crooked and fallen world, and especially a crooked and fallen nation. As Christians, it is our responsibility to use this tool to make decisions that fall in the cracks, such as voting for a lesser evil, as many Christians have called this election. I don't think the issue is that we need to vote for the lesser evil. We're all evil. We're all fallen creation and we need Christ to redeem us. Not just once in our lifetime, but every single day. So who are we to point a finger at a man or woman and say that they are any worse than me? What we really need to do is look at our candidate's motivations and use discernment to determine whether or not said candidate has our best interests and the interests of this country and this country's future in mind. My opinion, after applying discernment to this election, Trump. He's done nothing but show love for this country. Is he perfect? No. Has he messed up in the past? Yes, we all have. But his motivations are for us to live in a country of freedom and liberty, to defend ourselves, to close the borders to hostile entities, and to bring fiscal responsibility to this country for the first time in a very long time. Harris, on the other hand, wants nothing more than to breathe communism right into the bowels of our country, to sow hatred and racism, to pit one against others. She wants open borders, to strip us of our means of protection, to push abortion to its limits, to do away with our entire legal system. The funny thing is, I don't really need to use a whole lot of discernment to make this decision, because a lot of this falls under basic common sense. Regardless of who gets elected, we must remember that God's sovereignty rules over all. He has control of our leaders, of the nation, of the outcomes of this election. His hand will guide us, and it may not look the way we want it to. I always say that we must trust his heart, even if we don't understand or see his hand. If you're refusing to vote because of principles, you're not using discernment or sound judgment. You're playing it safe and contributing to the problems in our culture and nation. If you vote for someone who so blatantly works against freedom, religious beliefs, safety and security, and the protection of babies, then you are part of the problem and are not living out godly character. You might think that statement is a strong one, but it's the truth. When you go to the polls to vote, vote with some discernment. Don't vote with what you read on MSNBC or Facebook. Pray, get into the Word, vote with your conscience, but keep in mind you're not voting for a pastor, but for an imperfect leader. As biblically based Christians, we are not called to stand aside and refuse to vote in our current election. We must use discernment to weigh the good and bad, and choose the individual and party that will have our best interest and the best interest of our country in mind. And there's really only one obvious candidate that represents policies and plans closest to those ideals. Before we end our podcast episode, I want to share with you some projects coming down the pipeline. The first four episodes of our first audio story, The LZR Project, are now available to listen to. This is a 40-episode short story series set in my own expired reality universe, and it chronicles how city heroes, the Laserblades, finally put a stop to Mr. Big's crime spree. Episodes of The LZR Project are free on Spotify, Apple, and any other podcast streams you already find this podcast on. New weekly episodes are released every Thursday. Mark Carver's Baylor is coming back to the Crossover Alliance. The brutal world of mixed martial arts is no place for cowards and weaklings. Danny Fitzgerald knows he has the guts to compete, but the success he craves keeps slipping through his fingers. Juggling a complicated relationship along with a dead-end job on the docks of Jackson, Mississippi, Danny yearns for domination in the sport that literally saved his life, and he will do anything to attain it. Anything. Baylor is brutal, vicious, and carries with it a strong warning. Do not play with forces that are beyond your control. Whatever you do, don't let him win. Baylor will be releasing before the end of the year in paperback and digital formats. Our first short story anthology will be releasing December 10th. Broken, a divorce-themed anthology, will feature short stories dealing with the subject of divorce by a variety of authors, including Hazel May LeBrun, R. Mitchell Nelson, Heidi Gray McGill, Jeremy Bullard, and Parker J. Cole. If you're interested in our published books, head to thecrossoveralliance.com stories to see everything that's currently available. I hope today's discussion helps you see the importance of not only voting, but voting with discernment. Catch you next time. Thank you for listening to today's podcast episode. Please visit thecrossoveralliance.com to check out our books, submit your own story, and connect with other writers and readers of Christian content. You can also receive a free digital copy of one of our books for signing up for our email newsletter at thecrossoveralliance.com/email-signup. To connect with us socially, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram as The Crossover Alliance and on X as Crossover Ally. You can find me as David N. Alderman on all of these platforms.